Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
First, Kathleen Strzok brings us a report on the anniversary of three disasters that affected Japan in 2011.
5 years after a deadly earthquake and tsunami hit Japan, recovery remains years away. More than 16,000 people died in the disaster, and more than 470,000 were displaced from their homes. Over 2,500 people are still missing and presumed dead. After pressure from survivors, the Japanese Coast Guard began underwater searches for the missing. In Fukushima, more than 100,000 families still cannot return home, says the Red Cross Society. This is because of radioactive contamination from the damaged Daiichi nuclear plant. In Japan, the disaster is known as 3-1-1, marking the date 5 years ago. It was really three disasters rolled into one. It started with an earthquake devastating in itself, then the tsunami, and then the radiation from the nuclear plant, said Chiyoko Goto, a Japan expert at the Wilson Center in Washington, D.C. Goto said the disaster showed the world Japanese resilience and Japanese unity. But it also showed shortcomings. Among the most notable, the long time it took to stabilize the Fukushima Daiichi power plant after it was flooded from the tsunami, Goto said. That process took 8 months. Another, Japan's dependence on nuclear power, Goto said. The disaster forced Japan to close all of its nuclear power plants, leaving parts of the country without electricity. Goto offered up one major difference from the last major Japanese disaster, the 1995 Kobe earthquake. In 2011, social media was everywhere. Social media offered up plenty of unfounded rumors and fear-mongering, Goto said. But it also kept pressure on Japanese authorities to do more. Chikara Yoshida lost his only son, a 43-year-old volunteer fireman, on March 11th, 2011. He and his daughter posted a petition on Facebook to restart underwater searches. It drew over 28,000 signatures, according to the Associated Press. The Japanese Coast Guard announced that it would resume searches this week. There have also been complaints that reconstruction efforts in hard-hit northern Japanese communities have been too slow. This week, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said the government will respond. Tadahiro Kono, president of the Japanese Red Cross Society, said it is the elderly who are left behind in temporary housing. The Japanese economy continues to struggle, though economists differ on how much of the blame rests with the 2011 disaster. The latest data shows that Japan's economy declined by 1.1% over the last quarter of 2015. One bright spot has been tourism. Japan reported that visits by foreign visitors increased 47% last year, reaching nearly 20 million. Officials are hopeful of even more growth, with Tokyo ready to host the 2020 Summer Olympics. I'm Kathleen Strzok.
Next, we bring you a report on recent events in Myanmar. One well-known leader in the country has apologized for not becoming the country's next president. Katie Weaver tells us who that leader is, along with other political news in Myanmar.
The longtime opposition leader of Myanmar, Aung San Suu Kyi, has apologized for not becoming the country's next president. She posted a letter on social media to supporters Thursday. She apologized for not fully fulfilling the people's desire. Myanmar's parliament began the process of choosing a new president shortly after the posting. Aung San Suu Kyi asked for continued support to reach the goal peacefully. Political experts said this is a request for patience and a promise that she will become president one day. Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy won a large majority of seats in parliament in a general election last November. But Myanmar's constitution prevents the NLD leader from taking the presidential office because her sons are foreign citizens. Later Thursday, the lower house of parliament, controlled by the NLD, chose party member Tin Jia as its nominee for vice president. Tin Jia is a close advisor to Aung San Suu Kyi. The upper house, also controlled by the NLD, named Henry Ventiyu from Chin State as its nominee for vice president. 25% of the parliament is saved for lawmakers from the military. They are named, not elected. Those members met outside of parliament to choose their nominee for vice president. The parliament chooses a president among three nominated vice presidents. The vote is expected to take place March 18th. The two nominees not chosen as president will be vice presidents. Party sources have told VOA that NLD lawmakers will be told to vote for Tin Jia as president. NLD lawmaker Zinmar Ong said Tin Jia would be a good choice for president, even though he is not well known. The lawmaker noted that the nominee spent part of his career as a bureaucrat in two ministries. She told VOA, "He is well experienced in how to run a bureaucratic mechanism. That's perfect." The military ruled Myanmar for almost 50 years. In 2011, the government became partly civilian. The country held its first general election as a democracy last year. At that time, Aung San Suu Kyi said she would lead the government. She said she would be above the president. That almost guarantees Tin Jia will be considered a puppet president. NLD lawmakers say the situation is unavoidable because of the constitution. They say it prevents the public favorite from becoming the official leader. In that kind of situation, this scenario is the best one to move forward, declared lawmaker Zinmar Ong. The new government will take office on April 1st. I'm Katie Weaver.
A plan for countries to cooperate in patrolling the South China Sea is welcomed by Vietnam. The plan would combine the naval forces of Japan, Australia, India, and the United States to patrol the waters. Jim Dressback tells us more.
Vietnam is one of a number of countries in Asia which has land and sea lane disputes with China. The Vietnamese welcome a group of navies patrolling the sea. Admiral Harry B. Harris, Jr., the U.S. Pacific Command Chief, proposed America and its allies take part in navigation operations in the South China Sea. "We'll continue to do them, the navigation operations," Harris said February 25th at a press conference. China has built islands in the South China Sea on top of reefs. The building and military development on them worries Vietnam. Social media user Vo Tan Hung of Vietnam told VOA that a coalition of naval power would make China reconsider its aggressive moves in the contested waters if the coalition is born. Japan suggested a similar coalition of navies in 2007. The idea was dropped when the Chinese protested. Japan has disputes with China in the East China Sea. Australia is considering the idea of the coalition. The positions of India and Japan are unclear, according to VOA. As tensions climb in the South China Sea, the Vietnamese increased military spending and have received support. The Vietnamese strengthened military ties with the Philippines. Two Japanese warships will dock in Vietnam next month, Vietnamese media reported. Tokyo and Hanoi agreed to a naval exercise last year. I'm Jim Dresbach.
Politicians in Cambodia are using the social media site Facebook to show the public their popularity. But one newspaper in the country says Prime Minister Hun Sen might have paid for likes on his Facebook page. Mario Ritter has more.
Cambodia's ruling party spokesman has dismissed a report that the Prime Minister inflated the number of likes on his Facebook page. Prime Minister Hun Sen of the Cambodian People's Party recently announced he had reached 3 million likes on the social media site. He joked that his popularity made him the Facebook Prime Minister. He joined Facebook 6 months ago. Hun Sen appeared to have overtaken opposition leader Sam Rainsy's 2.2 million likes. Sam Rainsy, head of the Cambodian National Rescue Party, has been on Facebook for at least 5 years. Wednesday, a report released from the Phnom Penh Post newspaper said that only about 20% of Hun Sen's recently added fans were Cambodia-based users. The report noted numbers from the media analytics company SocialBakers.com. Many of the likes came from countries whose citizens would have little reason to support Cambodia's longtime ruler. The report also said a great number of likes posted in the past 30 days came from India, the Philippines, Burma, Indonesia, Turkey, and Mexico. The report raised the question that the Prime Minister might have been buying his popularity on the site. Chok Supiup is Executive Director of the Cambodian Center for Human Rights. She said she was surprised by the report, adding that it raises questions about the transparency of Facebook's likes function. Cambodian politicians have used Facebook likes to compete for popularity. She added that a politician's popularity should not be judged by social media activity alone, but by their effectiveness as public officials. The real concern is that users themselves have to understand that the number of likes they gain on Facebook does not accurately reflect their popularity or whether there's full support for them, she said. Nye Mose is the head of the Internet Technology Department at Phnom Penh-based Central, an online rights advocacy group. He explained that Facebook users could pay money to advertise their Facebook posts or page, a mechanism known as boosting. We cannot use money to buy likes, he told VOA Khmer. However, what we can do is pay money to boost our page or posts in order to reach a wider audience, as well as select where the page or the posts can be most seen. The expert suggested that the administrators of the Prime Minister's Facebook page could release reports on the page. Sok Aisan, spokesman for the ruling Cambodian People's Party, dismissed the report. He said the Prime Minister had no reason to inflate his online popularity. He added that it was mostly people within the nation. Hun Sen has been in power for more than 30 years. He recently announced that Cambodians can send messages directly to his Facebook page in order to raise concerns and issues. He also urged officials to create their own Facebook pages along with accounts for government institutions. Political observers said Hun Sen is hoping that he can use Facebook to gain popularity. Important local commune elections take place in 2017, and national elections are to be held the following year. I'm Mario Ritter.
This is What's Trending Today. Presidential candidates Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton held their eighth debate on Wednesday night. The two candidates met in Miami, Florida. Each is seeking the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. The Washington Post newspaper and Spanish-language television network Univision helped organize the debate. The candidates talked a lot about immigration reform and U.S. policy toward Latin American countries. But on social media, people debated something else: the color of Bernie Sanders' suit. People watching the debate on television could not agree on the color. Was it brown, blue, or black? People on the internet simply could not come to an agreement. The clothing debate took over social media. It brought back memories of the 2015 The Dress debate. That started when a woman in Britain posted a photograph of a dress she liked on the blog Tumblr. She wondered if the dress had black and blue lines or white and gold lines. Her Tumblr post went viral after the website BuzzFeed picked up the story and asked readers to vote on the color of the dress. The site received more than 3 million votes on the issue. The trending hashtag, The Dress, and the silly debate about its color divided people on social media. On Wednesday night, the color of the Vermont senator's suit did the same thing. In fact, his suit now even has its own Twitter handle, Bernie's Suit. Thankfully, a Sanders campaign worker tweeted about the true color of the suit. At first, the campaign staffer tweeted, "The suit Senator Sanders is wearing tonight is blue. But minutes later, the staffer corrected himself. He wrote, "The suit Senator Sanders is wearing tonight is black." But the staffer's answer did not satisfy everyone on Twitter. And that's what's trending today.
From VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. What word appears most often in English? It's the, also known as the definite article. Its partner, the indefinite article, a, is also among the top 10 most frequent words in English. According to Professor Elka Todeva of the SIT Graduate Institute in Brattleboro, Vermont, a and the are also some of the most difficult words for learners to figure out how to use without some assistance. A, an, and the are called articles. Why are these small words so hard to learn? More than 200 languages do not have articles. Other languages have articles, but use them differently than English does. As a result, figuring out the logic of English articles can be challenging.
Professor Todeva says English article usage falls into certain patterns. A basic understanding of common patterns can make learning articles easier. Fairy tales capture one such powerful pattern, which Elka Todeva calls the the switch. The the switch occurs between the first and second mention. It is a shift from new to already familiar information. Listen for the articles as she reads an example. Pay attention to the way a turns into the with the second mention of the old man and the old woman.
Once upon a time, there was an old man and an old woman who lived in a little cottage in a vast open field. The old woman and the old man were very hungry, so the old woman decided to bake a gingerbread man.
Before we explore this pattern and fairy tales further, let us look at some basic rules for article usage.
A and an are indefinite articles used before non-specific members of a group or category of nouns. The article a appears before singular nouns starting with a consonant sound. For example, I ate a banana. The article an comes before singular nouns beginning with a vowel sound. For example, give me an apple. The is called a definite article. The appears before nouns which are specific members of a category, as in, I went to see the movie George Clooney just made. Also, use the with previously mentioned nouns. For example, we went to a movie last night. The movie was called Spy. Use the with unique things like the sun, the moon, the front door, and the tallest man in the world.
In some situations, there is no article before a noun. Grammarians call this the zero article. The zero article appears before proper nouns, names like Picasso and John Lennon. It also goes with names of places and institutions, which consist of a proper name and another noun, as in Michigan State University. There is also no article before the names of days, months, seasons, and holidays. There is no article before geographical names like Europe, Italy, Tokyo, and Lake Superior. The zero article applies to names of languages and nationalities, as with Chinese or English. For example, Spanish is spoken in Spain. But if you are describing the people of that country, use the definite article. The Spanish are known for being friendly. The zero article also goes with names of sports and academic subjects.
Professor Todeva is both a learner and teacher of English. She says the human brain loves patterns and finding logic behind things. She encourages teachers and learners to explore grammatical patterns in fun, engaging ways. She calls this grammaring. Let's look at some common patterns in article usage. Professor Todeva takes us back to fairy tales or traditional stories to demonstrate how the switch from a to the works.
This particular pattern is very beautifully illustrated in most English fairy tales and in many jokes as well. Most fairy tales in English start with once upon a time. There is suspense, there is sweet anticipation. We're not sure what the story is about yet. We expect something exciting and something new, thus the use of the indefinite article at the beginning of most fairy tales, as in the following piece from The Gingerbread Man. Once upon a time, there was an old man and an old woman who lived in a little cottage, first mentioned, in a vast open field.
Here, the storyteller uses the indefinite articles because the characters are new to the listener or reader. When the information becomes familiar, the storyteller uses the definite article, the.
The old woman and the old man were very hungry, so the old woman decided to bake a gingerbread man.
You might notice the the switch in most jokes. Here is an example.
A man walks into a doctor's office. He has a cucumber up his nose, a carrot in his left ear, and a banana in his right ear. What's wrong with me? He asked the doctor, because it's already implied, and the doctor says, you're not eating properly.
Notice how the joke sets the stage with new information first. It starts with a before switching to the.
Another important pattern involves general statements. General statements refer to all or many members of a group. For example, politicians only care about money. You will often see general statements on bumper stickers. These are small labels on the back of cars that express the owner's feelings or opinions. You might see bumper stickers that say, well-behaved women rarely make history, or teachers touch the future. Notice that general statements use the zero article. Here's another general statement that you will probably agree with. Articles are challenging for English learners. Look for a future everyday grammar with more tips for using articles. Take Professor Todeva's advice and let your brain pay attention to some of the patterns that we just explored. Happy learning and grammaring with the English language. And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.